We all know the story, don't we? Indiana Jones had to pass through three challenges in order to reach the Holy Grail and save his father from death. These tests were designed so that the unbelieving would be prevented from reaching the Grail. Now, Dr. Jones, Indy's dad, had uncovered some ancient evidence that described these three perils, which he had also written down in the book that we saw Indy refer to. In order to succeed, Indiana Jones had to decipher the riddles in the book or die in the process. Now, this was a leap of faith. The third challenge was the leap of faith. From Indiana's perspective, he was stepping out into thin air with nothing to catch him. But his love for his dad motivated him to do it anyway. Now, we are called to make leaps of faith, but we don't have to step out into thin air, unaware of what in the world is going to happen. When we jump into the arms of Jesus. He is the sure ledge upon which we walk. He has the strength that is sure, and his hold upon us is certain. When we leap, we know we step into the arms of Jesus. That's where our faith is. That's what the leap of faith means to us. Now, I know most of us in this room are mothers, and you know how a young child is. The first few times they have to jump into deep water is really scary, and they don't want to do it. But it makes all the difference if one of their parents is standing in the water with arms out held to catch them, because the child trusts the parents, and they will leap because they trust the one who will catch them. That's exactly what it's like with Jesus. I'm not much of a swimmer myself, but I've always liked to get in the water. But when I was about 7 years old, I went on a trip with my aunt and uncle, and we went swimming in the pool at the resort where we were staying. Not being a strong swimmer, I wanted to stay in the shallow end. But my uncle forced me to go in over my head. And then he wanted me to lie down on my back and float, and for him to let go of me. And I just freaked out because I didn't trust my uncle. I was afraid I was going to start sinking and he was just going to let me sink. Because the thing about the leap of faith is you can't make it if you don't trust the one who is there to catch you. Faith is in someone or something. It's not just something we feel enough that we can do something. Our faith has to be in an object. And the object of our faith is Jesus. We know that he will catch us. We know that he can do that. As we looked at the Apostle Peter this week, we saw him step out in faith a number of times because he believed that Jesus had the power to catch him. He had that belief in Jesus. We want to look at Matthew 16. We obviously don't have time to look at every passage you looked at this week, but we want to look at Matthew 16, 13 through 17 as we think about the fact that the object of Peter's faith was Jesus. When Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And he referred to himself as the Son of Man. They answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter stated his faith that Jesus was the Messiah, or the other word, Messiah or Christ, and that he was the Son of the living God. Peter's confession meant that he knew that Jesus had the power to catch and hold him in any situation. We too make a leap of faith knowing that we step into the arms of Jesus, who is the Messiah or the Christ, the God-man. Now the word Christ is the New Testament Greek word for the same word in the Old Testament translated Messiah. The word literally means the anointed one. And we know in that day that kings were anointed, representing the fact they were God's choice to rule their people. By the time of the New Testament, the Jews were expecting this Christ or Messiah to come. And they believed that he would be the king, that he would free them from the dominion of the Roman Empire, and he would reestablish the monarchy in Israel. Throughout the Old Testament, God kept promising that this Messiah or this Christ, this anointed one, would come and lead his people. Now, we know the Bible is God's revelation to mankind. He has given this to us. And we saw last week that unless God reveals himself to us, he is obscured from us because of our sin. We cannot find God on our own. He has to come and reveal himself to me, to us, to all of us. But God wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. So throughout history, God would appear and God would do things to reveal himself to people. And then other people, or sometimes the same people, would write down what they had heard God say and what they had seen God do, so that later generations of people could also know God. We are the beneficiaries of that in his word because of what people wrote down that God had said and done. We can know God as well. Now, some of those writers were Old Testament prophets who spoke to people from God. And one of the things that they predicted in their prophecies were predictions of this Messiah who would come, this anointed one who would be God's ruler and God's leader of his people. So I want us to look at just a couple of those, because when Peter said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah," he was saying, "I believe that you fulfill these prophecies from the Old Testament." You might want to keep your finger in Matthew because we're going to come back, but turn to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And we're going to just look at this prophecy here. There are so many, and we're only going to look at a couple. Now, Isaiah wrote several hundred years before Jesus was even born, and he said, "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. He shoulders responsibility and is called Extraordinary Strategist, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion will be vast, and he will bring immeasurable prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and strengthening it by promoting justice and fairness from this time forward and forevermore. The Lord's intense devotion to his people will accomplish this." The Jewish people were expecting the king to come and establish rule. Because of prophecies like this, that's what Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would do. He prophesied he would be from David's family, and we know that David was the Old Testament king. And we know that because of his love and faithfulness for God, that God promised that David would have a descendant on the throne forever. And Jesus is that descendant. That's what Peter was saying. Jesus is the one promised to come to be David's descendant, to live, to rule on his throne forever. Jesus was his great, 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 who knows how many great grandson of David. He was the ruler who was to come. And we know and we believe, because that's what the Bible tells us, that someday he will come and he will rule over the entire world. In Isaiah, turn on over to Isaiah 11, we'll look at one more, beginning in verse 1. It says, "A shoot will grow out of Jesse's rootstock." Now, Jesse was David's father. "A bud will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest on him, a spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom, a spirit that provides the ability to execute plans, a spirit that produces absolute loyalty to the Lord. He will take delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions on the basis of hearsay. He will treat the poor fairly and make right decisions for the downtrodden of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and order the wicked to be executed. Justice will be like a belt around his waist. Integrity will be like a belt around his hips." These are promises of the Old Testament. Again, we're going to see a descendant of David come who will rule. And he's going to be a perfect ruler. He's going to judge with fairness and righteousness. Everything we want our rulers to be, everything we want our judges to be, he is promised to be. Now, when Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah or Christ, he was saying, I believe you are the one promised to come. You are the one who is David's descendant who will rule your people. Now, although Peter probably understood that it was only a physical rule, that's what he was expecting, he expressed the truth that Jesus was the anointed or promised one to come. He had faith that Jesus was that Messiah. But Peter not only called Jesus the Messiah, he also called him the Son of the living God. Although he likely didn't really grasp everything that that meant at this point, probably not till Jesus was raised from the dead did he truly understand what that meant. God had revealed to him that he was the Son of the living God, and he stated that here when he made his confession. And the truth was proven when Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus is God himself. He is the God-man. He became man. He came to earth for us. He came to rescue us from the effects of sin, both now and forevermore in heaven. He came to realign our lives with his, to remake us into his image, as we saw last week when we talked about it. So when Peter made this statement about Jesus, he made a leap of faith. He didn't understand everything that was involved in what he said. But think about it. He's here, and all of his co-workers and the other disciples, they aren't saying anything. Peter alone took a leap of faith and stated his trust in Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And when we leap as Peter did, we have to leave behind some kind of security and safety in order to trust in Jesus. In order to make a leap of faith, we have to leave something behind. Just as Indiana had to leave behind the safety of the rocks and step out, that's what we have to do. We have to leave what we've known before. We have to leave the security that we have in order to step out in faith into the arms of Jesus. But we take that leap based on the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the God-man. See, if we know that, we can leap because we will trust him. We also are able to do it because Jesus' proven record gives us the confidence he's going to catch us. He has a proven record of catching people. When Jesus called Peter, and we read the story, he called Peter and the other fishermen to follow him. They already had evidence of who he was. They had already heard John the Baptist say that he was the Messiah. They had already seen him turn water into wine. They had already seen him heal many sick people. And they had already seen him bring a catch of fish when the fish weren't even biting. He had already shown them so they could know that his record shows that he can catch us and we can trust him and follow him. And today we have even more evidence of Jesus' proven record because we have the entire New Testament that these disciples did not have. We no longer have Jesus walking bodily with us, but the people who walked with him, the people who heard him and saw him and saw that proven record, wrote it down so that we too would have the evidence to know that he has the power to catch us. You know, to follow Jesus, there is that initial leap of faith that we have to take. No one can do it for us. We have to do it alone. Faith is not inherited. Just because your parents have faith doesn't mean that you have faith. We have to make the choice to leap on our own. And we may have to stand alone to do it. Peter stated this all by himself, and everyone else was just standing by. They may have believed it too, but they didn't leap and make the claim of who Jesus was. But if we truly believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he really is God's promised one, that he is God himself who came to earth and died for us, then we gladly can leap into his arms. We can step out in faith to follow him, knowing he will keep us safe. Some of you may have never heard that Jesus is God who came to earth to die for your sins, that he might remake us in his image, that he might walk with us day by day, that he might have a personal relationship with us, and that we might be able to follow him for the rest of our lives. And if that's the case, and you need to know more about what it means to follow him and make a leap of faith, I know that your small group leader or your friend who brought you would be glad to talk with you about that. But, you know, it's a journey to faith in Jesus, and we've all had to be on a journey to get there. And so we just invite you to ask questions and learn more about who Jesus is and what it means to walk with him through life. But, you know, faith isn't a one-time thing. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is what we're called to do day by day by day, to continue following Jesus day by day by day. Faith is about trusting him to see us through the ups and downs of life. Faith grows with time and experience. And we saw that this week as we studied Peter, because at the end, by the time he had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Peter was able to stand in front of thousands of people and declare that Jesus is God himself who came to die for us. Peter's faith had grown because of what he had seen, and all that Jesus had done had been proven to him. Every January for the past few years, I have asked God to show me a quality in my life that he wants to work on in that year. And I ask him for a verse, show me a verse. I can pray that verse for myself this year that I can grow in that quality. And for about the past 4 years, I've been stuck on faith. I mean, every year I think maybe this year when I pray, God will lead me to some other quality that he's going to work on in my life. But every year we seem to go back to faith. And I'm obviously stuck there. And I think I wrote it in your material. Faith is really the foundation of all the other qualities. And so I'm not really ready to move on until God continues to work on my faith. But, you know, it's not just me. Faith is a lifetime process. We're never going to have complete faith in this life. It is something that needs to be growing and building every year for every single one of us. It's not just about that initial leap of faith. It is about leaps of faith over and over and over in our lives. But, you know, it's not so much how much faith we have. You read, all we need is faith the size of a grain of mustard seed to believe Jesus will catch us. It doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes a tiny, tiny bit of faith. The thing that we have to do is be sure we know how big our God is, to be sure that he will catch us. When we know how big he is, we don't need a lot of faith to leap, because we trust him and we know that he will catch us. Then even when it's hard and the struggle in life is great, because he's proven himself to us day by day by day, it's a lot easier to jump. Now, what does faith look like? What does the leap of faith look like? I think if we really trust in God's greatness and his goodness, there are a lot of things that would be different in our lives. I'm just going to give you a few things I thought about. We'll entrust our children to him instead of trying to control them. And take it from me, that gets worse the older they get. Grown children are the very worst. Now here's a big one. We will entrust our husbands to him instead of trying to change them. That's hard. We will believe that God has our good in mind when the future hasn't turned out as we expected it. That our lives aren't exactly what we thought they would be. That our husband is not exactly who we thought he would be. That our careers are not what we expected. We'll believe God has our good in mind and that his will is best, instead of trying to manipulate our own wills and our lives. We'll look for his purposes in a job situation instead of automatically jumping ship and saying, I'm going to find something easier. We'll seek his will rather than follow the easy path. We'll know he's able to turn around the hearts of those who see glimpses of godliness in us as we pray for them year after year after year. We'll trust him for our futures when we face difficulties and trials and troubles. We'll trust him when we face illness. We'll trust him for comfort when we grieve. And we'll remain faithful to him, even when life is hard and we don't understand it. And we'll trust him to provide, even if a hurricane wipes everything away. If you want your faith to grow so that you trust Jesus like that, I would suggest that you keep a written record of His faithfulness. Every time that He has proven to you His power to catch you, His faithfulness, His love, His goodness, write it down, keep a record, and frequently look back at what you have written so that when things really do get difficult, when you really do face a chasm before you, that you'll trust Him enough to leap into His arms. As Peter watched Jesus and began to realize who He was and what great power He had, he was willing to take a leap of faith. And we're going to look at the story in Matthew 14, 22-33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dispersed the crowds. And after He sent the crowds away, He went up the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. As the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" and cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to Him, "Lord, if it is You, order me to come to You on the water." So He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they went up to the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Now I want you to think about this. Peter alone of all the disciples walked on the water. He alone experienced the feeling of stepping on water and it being as strong as the dry land. He made a leap of faith and he was blessed for having done that. But don't you love Peter? Just as he was doing so great, his faith totally disappeared. He looked around at the situation and he started to sink. He started thinking about the danger and he lost his faith. There are times when our faith is truly the key to what God's going to do. That we need to be trusting Him, and if we do, He's going to do some great things as He did here. If Peter had not stepped out of the boat in faith, he would have never been able to walk on the water. The faith of a mustard seed moves mountains. And if we never see the mountains move, we don't even have that much faith. And I had to really think about that this week. How often do I see the mountains move? How much faith do I really have? No wonder God's still working on my faith. Probably last a few more years. We may be like the other 11 disciples who just sit there and watch other people step out of the boat, and we're too afraid to do it ourselves. If we don't leap, we're never going to see the mountains move. We have to step out of what's secure and safe and trust in God. What are you facing that requires a mountain to move? Think about that. Have you asked God for His will in the situation? Do you know what to do and when to leap and if you're to leap? We take a leap of faith knowing we step into the arms of Jesus, but also hearing Jesus call us to come. That's how we know that we can take a leap of faith. We are hearing Jesus call us to come, and then we can step out. It's not a matter of us just being able to leap out in any situation. I can't just decide this is what I think should happen, so I'm just going to trust that God's going to do it. We need to know that He's calling us to come. Peter said, "You order me to come, and I can come." If I'm not ordered to come, I can't come. He had to step out on Jesus' command. He had to know that what he was doing was God's will. It wasn't just something he thought should be done. It had to be what God wanted done. That's when we can step out with confidence. That's when we can leap. It's because Jesus is standing there saying, come, come, you can do it, you can make it, and I will hold you. But you know, leaping is just scary. It is hard for us to leave what we know. It's hard for us to give up our security and our safety. But although Peter got scared and started sinking, he got to walk on the water. He at least stepped out of the boat. 5.5 years ago, I came to Northwest, and at the time, I was the director of the women's ministry at a church where we had been for years. I knew the women, I knew the church, I knew the ministry, I knew what women had certain skills, I knew what women were faithful, I knew who to call on if I needed help, I knew how things worked at the church. It was very secure because of what I knew, and I was safe there in a sense, and it would have been really easy to stay. And I remember as I prayed about coming here that I kept seeing this picture in my mind that I was standing on the edge of a cliff and I had to step off. And I hate heights. This was not a good picture for me. This is not the way you think God is going to draw you to go do something that's a little scary, because it just was terrifying to think about stepping out and just trusting God. It was hard. But I did believe that he was going to catch me, that I was stepping out, but that he would be there to catch me. And it wasn't the easy choice. But when Jesus calls you to come, you have no other choice. You have to step out in faith. You have to take the leap if he's calling you to come. What about you? What has God put in your heart to do? What would take a leap of faith? Is he calling you to come despite the difficulty of the jump? And you know, ladies, sometimes the jump is staying in a hard situation. It's not moving. That's the leap of faith. And sometimes that's the hardest one to take. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute. And I want you to picture yourself at the edge of the chasm. And it looks hard and it looks scary. And I want you to think, if you've never followed Jesus, I want you to picture yourself stepping out in faith to just begin to follow him, believing that he is the Messiah, he is the God-man, that he died for you, and he wants to walk with you day by day, and you're stepping into his arms at the end of the chasm. You're going to leave behind your old life, that life that doesn't really work. Or if you're already his follower, picture yourself on the edge of the chasm. And I want you to picture yourself leaving behind whatever's easy to follow him. Because he's calling and he's saying, come. Come, my daughter. This is the harder path. It's not secure and it's not easy. But you'll be blessed when you take the leap of faith. Father, we do thank you that you call us to come. You call us to trust you. And if you never gave us trials and hardships and difficulties, we would never know what faith is like, because we wouldn't have any reason to leap. And we all just desire easy lives. I mean, it is just part of being in the flesh. We don't want to have to leap. We don't want to have to trust you. We want to stay where we are. Just forgive us for that. I pray for all of us, especially me, that you'll just continue working on our faith. And Father, I pray for these women. If there is anything in their lives that is requiring them to take a step of faith today, that you will give them the faith and the ability to do it. Help them to see how great and grand and good you are, that they can trust you, that they can do it because you're there. Thank you that you never drop us, you never miss us. You always catch us. Thank you that even when life is hard and we don't understand it and we're grieving and we're hurting, that you're holding us up. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.